This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hey, guys.
And we are super excited today to talk about sort of a basic question in motherhood, but something that seems more difficult in practice. How do I disciple my children? But before we get to that, we want to ask you guys for a quick favor.
Yeah, if you have not done so already, we would just love it if you guys would consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. It takes 5 minutes or less, and it's actually a huge blessing to us. We read all of them, and they really help other people find the podcast on iTunes. So if you're enjoying it, definitely head on over. We have a tutorial in our show notes. If it's hard or you feel like, I don't know how to do this, you can head over there and see how to do it.
Yeah. So we're going to start off today by talking a little bit about our personal fears when it comes to the terms discipling our children. So Emmy, you want to kick us off and tell us a little bit about what's hard about discipling your children?
Yeah. I think I just worry that I'm literally not clocking enough minutes talking about Jesus-y things. So I get to the end of my day and just feel like, oh, did I spend enough time getting down at their level and explaining things in light of the Bible, in light of the gospel? Or maybe is my example communicating that I love something more than Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. So if I said enough things about Jesus, maybe my life looked differently. So I guess in general, to sum that up, it's more just feeling like, I'm not enough. I'm not doing a good enough job at this. What is the line? No matter how much discipleship I do, I feel like I've not, done enough. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm not enough. What about you, Laura?
Oh, very similar. I think a little tweak on that. It definitely clocking the number of hours is a very true fear, but also just that I'll say something wrong. I think theology is so complex, and the deeper and the more that I learn and get into it, I feel like I know how much room there is for error. And so when I'm trying to kind of bring those truths down to my child's level, I get so twisted up inside that I can hardly even speak about it, or I just feel frustrated that I can't articulate it in a way that I think is both clear and theologically sound. And so I become sort of ineffective in that way. But I definitely would agree with you, Emily. It's just a base fear that I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm not doing it well. And that they're not going to become Christians because I'm not doing my role right.
All my fault.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which is just a really common underlying fear for moms. And when we get a lot of these questions about discipleship at Risen Motherhood, the questions have a lot to do with time. Like, how much time do I need to put in to be discipling my children? What do they learn organically? What do I need to teach them? Where can I start? Particularly for moms of, babies and toddlers, wondering what the first step is. And then people wonder things like, well, how much is my job versus the church's job versus my neighbor's job or whoever? And then also wondering, what are our sins and failures doing to our children in our effort to disciple them? And finally, kind of, what resources do I need to make or buy or own or craft? what little activity do I need to be coming up with in order to disciple them? Those are all questions we get on a regular basis. And we experience those questions too.
Yeah, totally. So we get it. Like, we want you to hear that you are not alone in this question. I think every Christian mother in the universe is asking these same questions, but we want to demystify it just a little bit and talk about, hey, what really is discipleship? Kind of the discipleship 101 for moms. And we also want to give you guys hope in the midst of this. What has been found helpful and truthful for us, we want to share that with you. So let's just start with defining, what is a disciple? What does a disciple mean?
Yeah. So my little vocabulary mind was like thinking, oh, there's a disciple noun, and then there's to disciple, which is more of a verb. And so just thinking about it in terms of a noun, a disciple refers to Jesus's followers in the New Testament. So we see it kind of wide reference, as in like any person who was following Jesus, but also we hear him referring to that 12 small group of people as his disciples. So in general, disciples were, again, people who were learning from him, like how to follow God, how to love others, how to share the gospel. So people who were following him with an intent to learn something.
Yeah. And sometimes these people were religious or they were wealthy, and sometimes they were really lowly people, the unlikely people, unqualified, uneducated, but all of the disciples recognized one thing, and that's their need for grace. And so they knew that they didn't have the right knowledge or they didn't have all the abilities. They had things that they needed to learn. And the ultimate goal for them would be to be sent out, to go and make other disciples. So not that they're just like stuck by Jesus's side, although that happened often. I mean, they were with him, following him in all sorts of settings, but also that they would go out and duplicate those efforts by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And one thing I think is really interesting when we look at the disciples is that it was difficult to tell the true disciples from the false disciples. So some people followed Jesus around all the time and they looked like they were learning from him and they were doing things in his name. But even Jesus acknowledges, hey, some people are doing things in my name, but we're going to find out later that they were not authentic. And we also know Judas was in his, his tribe of disciples and he turned from Christ. And so it's just something to keep in mind that on the outside, sometimes it can be hard to tell who an authentic disciple really is.
Mm-hmm. So then if we move to kind of disciple, the verb, so to disciple, this is having someone follow you around and learning from you about obedience to God and sharing the gospel with others. So some observations that we find about discipleship in the New Testament, I think the biggest key is that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who equips and transforms and produces any good fruit out of someone who is discipled.
Yeah, I think we also see it strongly tied to the local church and what God is doing in a church body as all of the members are coming together with their different gifts and abilities and resources and helping one another follow Christ and just kind of perpetuate the spread of the gospel.
And really, like, to be discipled is you're learning by watching and by doing. So it's a lot of exposure. It's doing life together. It's being in relationship. And we see that, as Emily mentioned, in the local church, this is the primary mission of the believer, is to disciple others.
So that's just kind of a flyover of discipleship in general, because it's important to know what it is we're actually talking about here. But as we were going through that, hopefully that pinged a lot of things in your mind, like, oh, this sounds a lot like what we're naturally doing in motherhood, as we have these little people coming alongside us, living life with us, learning what to do and how to live, and most importantly, like how to follow God as they are living life beside us.
So as we kind of shared previously, a lot of Jesus' disciples, they were uneducated and unequipped, and it's very much very similar to our children. They come to Jesus in need of grace, and we are in need of grace ourselves, and we feel unequipped, and we feel unqualified for the task ahead. But God gives us the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit in our lives to be able to do the discipleship work that he's asked us to do as we grow in maturity and obedience to him.
So I think, much like we've talked about culture and kind of how we all have a culture in our family, the question is not, do you have one? It's what is it and what is it communicating? I think we're all discipling our children in something because they're following us and learning from us and figuring out how to live. So the question is, what are we discipling our children in? We hope it's the gospel. I didn't finish that thought very well.
Sorry. Okay. Yes. So we hope it's the gospel. And if you are like us, you are hoping that that is the gospel. Although I think sometimes, just like Emily and I shared at the beginning, we're like, oh, what are we discipling them in? You know, just wanting to make sure that that's what it is. But let's talk through the actual gospel to get a little bit of gospel hope on this topic.
So in Genesis, in creation, we see God give Adam and Eve this creation mandate, like be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then in the New Covenant, we see that modeled as Jesus is saying, go make disciples, be fruitful, fill the earth with these disciples and teach them to obey God. So it's kind of this mirror image. As you can see, this is part of God's design for humanity, is that we would multiply image bearers and everybody would be worshiping and giving glory to God.
Of course, and you know where we're going with the fall. We cannot live out the Great Commission perfectly. Now we have divided affections and worship. We're hypocritical in the things that we say and the things that we do. We deny Jesus in moments of weakness, and we lack faith in God's plans. And we experience a lot of those same things that we saw the disciples in Scripture experience. But with restoration, we know that God works through our weaknesses by the power of the Holy Spirit as we depend on Him through His word and prayer, and we stay in community with a local church.
Yeah, and we can be hopeful because someday He is going to complete this work of discipleship by conforming us fully to the image of Christ, and we will reign with Him with our brothers and sisters forever. And so ultimately, it's not up to us to complete that work or to have done it perfectly or be enough, because for those who are in Him, He is going to cause us and our children who are in Him to persevere to the end, and we can have hope in that. So I think the next question is, okay, how? What do I do in order to live this out as a mom?
Yeah, and there's kind of an easy answer and a hard answer, which we'll talk through. So the easy answer is just live faithfully as you can as a disciple of Jesus in front of your kids and bring them alongside you in whatever you're doing. So for example, you've heard us say all of these things on the show before, but if you're praying, have them pray with you. If you're reading the Bible and they ask questions or they want to know what you're doing, have them sit and read with you. If you go to church, bring them with. If you're serving others, try to include them in the way that you're serving them. If you need to repent, do it in front of your kids. Show them what it looks like to confess your sin and to repent and turn and follow Jesus. So there are so many ways. It's just natural. Whatever rhythms that you're doing as a believer, those are things that you just want to naturally bring them into. But
the hard truth is that we don't always live as faithful disciples. And so there's nothing to bring our kids into if we're not living that out ourselves. So that's really where the challenge and the struggle and kind of those feelings of failures come in, because we are all human. We have these dry seasons. We just are not faithful in doing that each and every day. So we thought we would give a few practical tips as kind of this gospel-minded approach to motherhood and discipleship. If you're feeling like, yeah, I'm not faithful, I want to continue to grow in this, what do we do next?
Yeah, so the first thing is just to invest in your own relationship with God. The primary thing that we can do is to have an authentic relationship behind closed doors. If your kids are going to do as you do or to follow you, it has to be a reality in your own life. And this is something that Emily and I have talked about so often in our own relationship, mm-hmm. of just the dry seasons. And what do you do in those? Are the parts where you feel like God isn't as present as normal, or you don't feel like this love and devotion and you're not oozing, you know, love for God.
Yeah. And so one thing I think that can be hard is as we go through transitional seasons, mm-hmm. or times when schedules are busy. I know that's something Laura and I have experienced, where you just wake up in the morning and you are met with like urgent need after urgent need after urgent need. And pretty soon you go a few days and hey, you're surviving without God right at your side, or at least that you're perceiving Him to be right there.
Right.
And then that turns into weeks, and maybe that turns into months for you. And there can just be this awkwardness that develops. And then you feel like, oh, well, I haven't been meeting with God. I haven't been intentionally worshiping. I haven't been intentionally talking about these things. How do you break that, mm-hmm. and change and repent and go back? I think that's a reality that a lot of us face in the early years of motherhood, especially.
Yeah, it's so true. And it can just feel like Emily was asking how. And the answer is far less complicated than we want to make it out to. Because I even remember saying to Emily the other day, I said, I don't really feel like reading my Bible, but I know the answer isn't to stop reading my Bible. I know that the answer is to get back into God's word and to live by faith and to trust that dry seasons will change into seasons of fruit and redemption and sweet seasons of relationship with God. And just knowing that that's the ebb and flow of the believer's life. And I think too, continuing to invest, kind of as I was saying, invest in your faith. So even though you may not feel all of the emotions, you are still reading theologically sound books. You are listening to worship music. You are singing worship songs at home, praying to God. And the answer is just keep doing what mm-hmm. you're doing. Keep living life as a believer.
Yeah. And I think that that shame or that wanting to pull back is that Adam and Eve in the garden thing happening in our hearts where they sinned against God and their response was, okay, I want to go get away from him now so that I don't have to be near him. And we have to remember the gospel in that moment that Jesus has paid for that and he's absorbed the wrath so that we don't have to go hide in the bushes away from God. We can keep going back to him. And that's really hard to feel that that's true, but we have to keep remembering it, like Laura said, and live by faith. And that brings us into point two, which would be remain connected to a community of believers who love God and are faithful to his word and are saturated in the gospel, because they're going to help in this endeavor. So yes, kids follow their parents and they're discipled by their parents, but they also watch and learn from other adults too. So this may be grandparents or teachers, great friends of your family, church leaders. It is a good thing to immerse them in a life of people who love God and know him and follow him.
And the last one would just be, as we said previously, pull them alongside you. Whatever you're doing, just keep involving them. For some examples, this is where that investing in your own relationship with God overflows. So if your kids interrupt you in quiet time, that's okay. Let's not have a hard and fast rule that like mom sits and reads her Bible over here and the kids have to play there and not speak to her. Well, I think that's appropriate in some situations. I won't lie. Let them come down next to you and let them draw with you or read their own little Bible. Bring them with you to church, even a baby. This just shows them what the regular rhythms of a believer looks like. And just having regular conversations with them. I think often if I'm not careful, I miss a lot of opportunities to disciple my kids in an intentional way verbally. So what I mean by that is that sometimes my kids will say something that seems a little bit off, or I'm like, I don't think I say or talk like that. So I may, instead of telling them, hey, don't say that, ask them, hey, where did you hear that? Or why did you say that? Do you know what that means? Often this opens a really good door for us to have a deeper conversation about, you know, what certain words means, why certain people say different words. And I found that to be one of the most helpful ways for me to have really intentional conversations with my kids through things that are just naturally happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And just as a little bonus point here, I think we need to look for ways we can fill in the gap. So in the New Testament, we see Jesus pulling his disciples aside and he's almost providing this extra commentary for them. Like, okay, here's what happened. Let me explain to you in detail what this meant, although they still were left wanting. But he challenged them. He rebuked them sometimes. He looked for ways to like reconcile and help them. So for our kids, I think this may look more like family Bible reading time or a specific morning prayer time every day or doing specific service projects together with the intent of explaining why we do service. So this may be a little bit more formal sometimes, because we see a gap where we need to explain something really clearly. Catechisms would be another example. But I know we, for our kids too, even with like movies and stuff, sometimes I'll show them something that's, I mean, I'm not talking about something ridiculous or extreme, but something that's a little bit pushing my boundaries because they really want to watch it. And I'll sit with them and we'll pause and talk about things like, okay, this is a great example of a time I can provide commentary and say, hey, how is this compared to what we're learning in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good one. And I think there are a lot of creative ways that moms do this. So talk with your mom friends and see some of the ways that they've set up opportunities for learning. So we hope that this has been an encouragement to you today. We have a lot of other shows and resources and articles that have been written on this topic. So we will link all of those in the show notes. Head over to risenmotherhood.com. There's a big old button called podcast on the top right that you can click on and easily visit all of our show notes for all of our shows of all of time. And check us out on social media. We'll be writing more about this topic this week at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as Emily mentioned at the beginning of the show, we'd love it if you had time to just give us a rating or review over on iTunes. We'd really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.